The big question that Lane and colleagues address is, can vibrating our muscles actually change or control our gait? And like, why would that matter anyway? Well, gait isn't just about walking to the fridge or, I don't know, running for the bus. It's basic, essential mobility. For anyone who has problems with walking, say from Parkinson's, stroke, or even just getting older, understanding gait can mean the difference between independence and serious limitations. So if there's a way to improve it or maybe restore it using something as simple as vibration, that's pretty significant for rehab, aging, and clinical care. Okay, now, what did the authors actually do? This paper is a review, which means they didn't run experiments themselves. Instead, they looked at a bunch of other studies, 32 to be exact, that tested muscle vibration during walking. These studies covered healthy people, people with clinical conditions like stroke or Parkinson's, and even folks undergoing training over time with vibration. They also checked out a couple different things, like whether vibration could trigger walking motions, almost like flipping a switch, modify regular walking patterns in healthy and unhealthy populations, and actually improve walking skills with repeated training. There's a lot to unpack. So let's talk findings. For healthy people, the effects are, well, kind of mixed. In some cases, muscle vibration changed things like stride length or the timing of steps, but in other cases, there was basically no effect. Some studies saw people taking shorter steps or shifting their balance, or even tinkering a bit with how hard muscles had to work. But overall, the authors say the effects in healthy individuals are, let's say, inconsistent. Where things get more interesting and maybe more promising is with people who have difficulty walking because of medical issues. Here, vibration often did help. For example, in stroke or Parkinson's patients, or folks with spinal cord injuries, the research showed vibration could significantly improve aspects of walking, like speed or balance. Sometimes training with vibration over a few weeks led to lasting improvements, even a month after the training had ended. That's kind of wild, right? But remember, this isn't medical advice, it's just what the studies observed, and as always, more research is needed before anyone would say, hey, strap a vibrator to your leg and you'll walk better. Now, the methods in these studies were, honestly, all over the place. People used different frequencies, vibrated different muscles, tested different kinds of walking, some over ground, some on treadmills, eyes closed, eyes open, so on. That makes it super hard to draw, like, really firm conclusions. Lane and his co-authors actually call this out, saying the research community needs more standardization. Same muscles, same conditions, same ways of measuring, so people can truly compare apples to apples. That's a subtle but important point. Like, if everyone's measuring different things, how do you know what's really going on? Oh, by the way, at one point they mention ancient vibrating chairs and helmets being used decades and even a century ago. Kind of makes you wonder if we're just cycling through the same ideas, right? Like, what's old is new again. Anyway, digression there. Sorry. All right, what does this mean for you if you're someone dealing with walking challenges or you work with people who are, this paper is a sign that muscle vibration could have potential. But the big but is, we're not at the point where we can just recommend it. Academic research is about exploring, not delivering the final truth. So use it to ask questions and think about possibilities. If you're healthy and listening to this, well, the evidence for you is less compelling. Maybe you'll change your stride a bit, or maybe nothing will happen. And, as always, I'm not endorsing these findings, just explaining what the research says so you have the context to make up your own mind. To wrap up, Lane and team are basically saying muscle vibration could help with gait rehab, especially for clinical populations, but we need better, more unified research to turn these promising signs into real, reliable therapy tools. Thanks for joining me on this episode of In Depth with Academia. As always, stay curious. Remember that research is a journey rather than a destination. And we'll catch you next time for more deep dives into academic discoveries.